And that is for all the saints who from their labors rest. And why are we doing that? On this Tuesday, October the 30th in the year of our Lord 2018. And we have with us Pastor Mark Smith, and he will tell us why we are doing that hymn.
Because this coming Thursday is All Saints Day, November the 1st, and congregations often celebrate that on the nearest Sunday thereafter.
First Sunday in November.
Right, exactly.
The 4th.
Right.
And are you going to be doing that?
Absolutely.
Yes. You going to be using this hymn?
Absolutely. It's one of my favorites.
It's written by Martin Luther?
No.
No, it's not.
Wish it was.
No,
it's a great hymn. I love it.
No, originally he wrote For All by Saints, and then later he himself changed it for all the saints. And we're talking about William Howe.
William Howe. Sounds like an Englishman.
Yes. There's other hymns on the saints that can equal the merits of this hymn. But they say what makes this hymn text stand out is that already in the second line, it points to the essential trait of sainthood, and that is faith.
Right. You know, it's always got me how, you know, the idea of canonizing people and making them saints, you know, whether they have to have a couple miracles.
You know,
all you have to do is look in the New Testament. And Paul, when he writes his epistles, he talks about writing to the saints at Corinth or wherever he's writing. He's talking about, he refers to them as saints. And they're all believers. You know what I mean? We're all saints. We're sinner as well as saint at the same time. From God's perspective, we are saints.
Who's one of our favorite friends who refers to you as St. Mark? You always use saint in front of our names.
Who would that be? I can't think who that is.
I'll give you a hint. Can't believe it. Peter?
Oh, Peter Kurowski, yes. Yeah, he does that, doesn't he?
Yes. And he does that on purpose. You know, he was my co-pastor for a number of years.
I remember that, yeah.
And, did we have a wonderful time.
He was one of the first guys, I can remember to this day, he was one of the first guys I met when I moved to the Concordia Seminary campus in the late summer of 75. He was one of the first guys I ran into. Believe it.
Did you hear him?
The next summer, I spent the whole summer with him.
I know, on that vicarage.
Down there in Boot Hill.
Yes. Yeah, we had some good stories, and I remember the first time he brought you to our house when we were eating. Why are you laughing about that?
Because I thought you were such a chauvinist.
I know.
The way you treated Louise, St. Louise, by the way. We call her St. Louise.
Yeah, I know.
Because she truly is a saint to live with you.
I was bossing her around.
I was appalled how you treated
her. I know you were.
Her. And you, here you were. I think you were. It was all an act.
I had told Peter and the rest who were there I was going to do that. And then remember the next time you came, I told her to treat me that way. And she couldn't.
Yeah, I can remember little Catherine was just a little thing, you know, holding in her arms. And she looked at me like, who the heck is this guy?
Yes.
I can still see her, you know, just little Catherine.
I know. Yep. She goes to St. Paul de Pere, too, with us, with our kids, grandkids, and such like that.
Yeah, that was 40 years ago, more.
Oh, my.
Can you believe it?
Yeah, and that's amazing, because we're only 52 years old, each of us. Please read the first stanza.
For all the saints who from their labors rest. I can hardly read this without using the same rhythm that I sing it with.
Yes.
For all the saints who from their labors rest, who thee by faith before the world confessed. Thy name, O Jesus, be forever blessed. Alleluia, alleluia.
And sure enough, that second line, who thee by faith before the world confessed.
Yeah.
And of course, what they're confessing is Jesus.
Right.
I just heard recently, you know, Norman Nagel, he's always great to listen to. He was on the radio. And he was talking about faith, and somebody called in and they asked this question, can you describe your faith? And he, you know, him, he takes a moment to think, and he says, no, I don't want to talk about my faith. I want to talk about Jesus.
That's right. There you go. Yeah. That's what faith's all about.
That's what faith is all about.
Yeah.
And I am just, you know, I drive a lot now in Illinois to various congregations and listen to other stations. And I'm finding very few sermons that are that good. I turned on one station, though, and boy, was it ever a good sermon.
Really?
Yeah, and I said, well, I got to listen to the end to see what it was. And what it was, it, you know, up to this time, they don't have the new Lutheran Hour speaker.
Right.
And sure enough, it was Lutheran Hour, Oswald Hoffman, talking in 1955.
Uh-huh, no, it was a taped sermon,
yes.
Obviously.
Well, yeah. No. It was live. 1955. And I said, oh, my, now this is a Lutheran sermon.
Well, the new Lutheran Hour speaker preached just last Sunday.
I know, and I missed. Did you hear him?
Yeah, I did. I heard the first part of him.
Oh, okay.
It was very good.
All righty. Stanza 2.
Thou wast their rock, their fortress, and their might. Thou, Lord, their captain in the well-fought fight. Thou in the darkness drear. Their one true light. Alleluia, alleluia.
That's why I said it's going to be a mighty fortress, because there's the word.
That's right. Thou wast their rock.
Yes. In fact, because it's impossible for God to use words to describe himself accurately, because it's in such a different dimension, he has to use metaphors with which we are familiar with. Mm-hmm. And so you've got three of them here. Rock, fortress, and might.
Right.
Did you ever see captain?
He's captain of the heavenly host.
Yeah, well, yes. Thou, Lord, their captain in the well-fought fight. There's a Concordia Publishing House puts it out, a big banner with the names of Jesus on it, like Redeemer,
yeah,
and Lord, and Father.
Yeah.
And
right.
It's,
oh, yeah,
really good.
You can fill a whole poster with
you
it.
You easily can. And I was thinking.
And then take all the metaphors, you know. That'd
be another chart.
Book of life. He is the book of life.
Yes. I am the bread of life.
Yeah.
I am the word. I mean, there's so many of them. So Jesus is our rock and our fortress and our might, because as rock, that's where we get the waters of baptism.
Right.
You can say. A fortress, that's why Psalm 46 uses fortress twice in it.
I love the fortress metaphor.
Yes. We don't have fortresses today.
No. But I'm kind of a military history buff. I kind of get
so
into
what
that metaphor.
Analogy would you use? Not a mighty fortress. I would say a mighty armed area. You know, well, what do they call those places where the soldiers sleep and?
Base. Air Force base. Like or a post.
A mighty
fortress.
Base.
Fortress. Still use fortress.
All right. We'll use fortress. Weren't you?
I was an Air Force brat.
Yeah.
Yeah. I grew up on Air Force bases.
That's what I'm saying. So that would be a good analogy, because
you felt very safe. I remember when the Detroit riots occurred. We lived on an Air Force base up north of Detroit.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it's like, I mean,
calm,
safe.
Peace.
Oh,
yeah, no
man,
problem.
No kidding. No sweat at all.
So that's interesting. You left the Air Force. You're still a brat. But anyway, that's nice. I'll read stanza 3. O may thy soldiers, faithful, true, and bold, fight as the saints who nobly fought of old, and win with them the victor's crown of gold. Alleluia, alleluia. Who are the soldiers?
The saints.
Yes.
O may thy soldiers, faithful, true, and bold. It's another designation for saint.
Yes.
We're soldiers in the church militant.
The way I like to describe saint is, if you're not a saint, you're not permitted to take the Lord's Supper.
I don't think that's a little blurry a little bit.
Aren't
little baby saints? Aren't little believing infant saints?
No. I didn't say that all saints can take the Lord's Supper. I said a pastor will only give the Lord's Supper to someone who confesses they are a saint. A baby can't confess that yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
But aren't they? Wouldn't you say little infants?
Well, sure they
who've been baptized are saints?
That's correct.
Okay.
I have no problem with that. But would you give communion to little infants?
No, I'm not a Greek Orthodox.
No. Well, there are a bunch of Lutheran pastors thinking we can.
Well, I will say this. I never forget. You know, I've got a professor in my congregation. He
yes.
tells a story about a little boy brought up to the altar rail.
Right.
And the little boy happened to notice that the communicant that was kneeling next to him didn't drink all the blood of the Lord
right.
out of their individual cup. And the little boy says, "You better drink that.
Yeah.
It's Jesus' blood."
Yeah. Interesting.
You know? I mean, you know, little kid.
Yeah. Yeah. We never had the Lord's Supper, even in Matins, without first going to the confession of sin, though.
Uh-huh.
Because
right.
Repentance and the absolution
That's
are
right.
important.
Yes.
All righty. Next verse, please.
But lo,
no,
there...
No,
O may thy soldiers...
Yeah, no.
We just did that, didn't we?
Yes.
So
what verse was that?
Oh, you're right. This hymn does that. Yeah, the next verse is on the opposite page.
Yes.
Oh, and I'm not sure really why they do that. There's a good reason, though.
That's a different tune.
Right. Oh, blessed communion, fellowship divine. We feebly struggle, they in glory shine. Yet all are one, and thee in thee, for all are thine. That's talking about the members of the church triumphant, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Explain the difference between triumphant and earthly.
Well, the church triumphant are the saints that are in heaven.
Yes.
And we're still contending for the faith down here. We're in the church militant.
Yes.
We aren't in heaven yet.
But if that is true, then the saints in heaven are only there in the spirit.
Right. They're not, their bodies are still in the ground. Of course.
Or wherever.
Yes.
Because it's not until the judgment day.
Right.
That the new bodies arise,
right.
etc. But that's really, we're feebly struggling, they in glory shine.
That I love the way he said that. We feebly struggle, they in glory shine. You know, I mean, you know, we...
Now, what's the word glory mean there? What glory are they in?
Well, the glory of Christ.
Yes.
They're the glory of Christ.
I believe the glory refers to Christ.
The Lamb is their lamp.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a reflective glory.
They in glory shine, yes.
Yeah.
If you think the transfiguration was bright.
Oh, man.
Wow.
You aren't kidding.
I'll read stanza 5. And when the fight is fierce, the warfare long, steals on the ear the distant triumph song, and hearts are brave again and arms are strong. Now, who's that referring to? The triumphant church or the church on
Let's
earth?
Let's see. And when the fight is fierce, that's talking about the church militant again.
Yes, very good.
When the fight is fierce, the warfare long steals on the ear the distant triumph song. Yes.
Okay, the kid is going to ask, what is the word steals? They never use the word steals.
Yeah, I think, I don't, you know, that's, whoever uses that word, I think it's, you can, through the ears of faith.
Yes.
Through the ears of faith.
Right.
You can hear the distant triumph song.
And the distant triumph song is heaven.
Right.
Once a person dies.
Which we hear it through the ears of faith, even when we're singing this song.
Yes.
This hymn.
And hearts are brave again and arms are strong.
Right.
You know, talking about the Lutheran Witness is speaking about a number of pastors sometimes go through depression and such. But one of the ways which they can be brought out of depression, as well as pastors can bring people out of depression, is by the distant triumph song.
Yeah.
Which is the promises of the Bible.
That's right. And remember that verse? I think, thou in their darkness drear their one true light.
Yes.
That's in the second verse. Jesus in the darkness drear their one true light.
Right.
The darkness of depression, let's say.
There's never a opportunity that you have or an experience where Jesus isn't there with you.
That's right.
And he's allowing it to happen.
That's right.
In fact, if you talk to pastors who've had bouts of depression, one of the things that occurs is they become more empathetic to other people.
Yes.
I remember until my son Phil died, I wasn't near as empathetic as when someone had a death in the family.
That's right.
Because I had never had anybody die, and then my dad died, my mom died, etc. And it just changes your attitude a little bit.
You aren't kidding.
It's not something that you can teach yourself.
No.
It's something the Holy Spirit does. All righty. Verse 6.
The golden evening brightens in the west. Soon, soon to faithful warriors cometh rest. Sweet is the calm of paradise, the blessed.
Where does the word paradise ever appear in the Bible?
Jesus says that. He says, you'll be with me in paradise.
That's right.
He says that to the thief on the cross.
Technically speaking, Judaism had seven levels of heaven, and paradise was the third one.
Mm-hmm.
We consider the term paradise, as Jesus used it, though, to refer to the interim.
Right.
The
interim state.
Yeah. Right. When you're in the spirit, not yet in the body.
Between death and the last day.
That's right.
Right.
And that paradise is something that faithful warriors will then receive rest. Now, I find that really interesting, because what's the Hebrew word for rest?
Sabbath.
Yes. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. It's a day where we kind of return to the Garden of Eden,
yes,
where they rested. And so I always say,
and Jesus rested in the tomb, too.
I always say that the Sabbath refers to a back taste of the Garden of Eden and a foretaste of heaven.
A back taste of the Garden of Eden and a foretaste to what? Heaven?
Yes.
Yeah, that's, I like that.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Stanza 7. I'll give you the stanza because it's going back and forth from the different pages.
Yeah. But lo, there breaks a yet more glorious day. The saints triumphant rise in bright array. The King of glory passes on his way. Alleluia, alleluia.
So once more, we have the word glory, and that there's going to break a yet more glorious day than we're experiencing here on earth.
Or in heaven, for that matter. This is talking about the resurrection.
Yes. The saints triumphant in bright array.
Right.
I was doing a Bible study recently, and the question was asked, who is Revelation? Who are these dressed in white?
White robes, yes.
Now, one of the elders asked John. John says, you know who they are.
They washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb.
And I said, here's again a contradiction in the Bible. You try and wash your robes in blood and have them come out white.
Yeah.
Doesn't happen, but spiritually it does.
That's right.
In fact, I wear a cassock, which is sin, and a surplus, which is a robe of righteousness, but what do you wear?
I wear an alb. I wear a surplus, and it is, Tom, it's not surplus, it's surplus.
That's what I said. Yeah. And so
surplus.
I've had that surplus since I was in Vicarage. It's amazing. They made it for me, so I look like all
surplus size, right?
Well, I needed a plus.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. I usually lately I've been wearing nothing but alps. And I don't know why.
You don't have shoes on or
no,
anything?
No,
boy, oh boy.
No. No, I wear a surplus. I don't wear a cassock because I get too hot in those things.
Really?
I tried it once, but I just get too hot. So I wear a dark, clerical shirt and dark pants, and I wear a surplus.
I'm working with four congregations now, and two of them have vestments there, so I don't bring my own vestments.
Uh-huh.
But they're all albs.
They're all obs.
Yeah,
obs.
I have to have somebody help me put them on because I don't know how those things work. But that's fine. Final stanza, 8. And there's a triangle in front of it.
Yes, this is doxological verse. From earth's wide bounds, from ocean's farthest coasts, through gates of pearl streams in the countless hosts, singing to Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Alleluia, alleluia.
What is this gates of pearl?
Pearly gates. The pearly gates.
Yeah, which are?
which those are the gates of the new heaven and new earth.
Yes.
Yes. It doesn't say anything about Peter being up there. St. Peter, you know, the old thing that St. Peter stands at the gate.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, maybe, I mean, certainly he's in there.
Yes.
But you don't see him at the gate. But you do see the pearly gates, don't you?
Yeah, if anybody is going to be there, the Bible says the angels are the ones that bring you up to heaven on the day of judgment and this kind of thing. Some earth-wide bounds, I would think that means from the east to the west.
From the whole globe.
Yes.
Right.
From ocean's farthest coast. Through gates of pearls streams in. Now, this is interesting. The countless host.
Yes.
What I did on Monday, part of the readings is the 12,000 from each tribe. And I was asking the question, so there's only 144,000 going to be saved?
Yeah, if you're a Jehovah's Witness.
Very good. That's what they believe. And then the very next verse is, and there were countless.
Countless.
And so the 144,000 refer to the perfect number of the elect in the militant church.
Right.
In contrast to the countless, which is the triumphant church.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
The 144,000 refer to the
12,000 in each tribe, which means elect are lost.
Uh-huh, right.
And see, we're members of that tribe
that's
now.
Right.
We're the new Israel.
Right, right.
And so it's not a, how shall we put it, it's not a absolute strict number. There's only 12,000. It's just that 12,000 is...
the fullness.
That's right.
The fullness of the church, right?
Yeah. It's like when I say, I love you a million times, you know, she's not going to look at me and say, no, so far it's only 844,000. It's a word of exclamation.
Yeah.
And that's what it's referring to. But isn't that interesting? It's going to be countless. That reminds me of a promise that God gave to Abraham.
Yeah. So shall your offspring be.
As
countless
what?
As the stars.
The stars, and the other one I liked.
Countless as sand on the ocean.
Yes.
Yes.
Or sand on the
beach.
Sand
on the beach, right.
Yeah. Boy, try and count that.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, it's easier to count the stars than the sand on the beach.
Now, that would mean that...
They say you could see about 8,000 stars with the naked eye.
Oh, really?
Yeah. If you're out in the desert, no street lights, that sort of thing.
8,000.
About 8,000.
Wow. And how many do they think there are?
Oh, innumerable.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Exactly. Yeah, I love these evolutionists trying to find a star just like ours so that they think they can find life. See, I don't understand. I believe there's life on a lot of planets, like amoebas and things like that.
Yeah.
But there's no human beings.
No intelligent life.
No, no. Right. Well, it depends how you would describe intelligence. I just heard the dolphins are having problems on the coast now because of the noise of the boats that are around.
Yeah, they're supposed to be very smart.
Yeah, and they can't communicate now, so they are doing a different kind of language, they said.
Really?
That's really interesting. But we're not from dolphins, we're not from monkeys, we're right from Adam and Eve.
That's right.
So you're going to use this.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. And you know, it's such a beautiful time of the year. When I think of that one verse, the golden evening brightens in the west. You know, you see these trees are just, they're amber. They're golden. Beautiful.
And address?
8646 New Sappington, Prince of Peace Lutheran Church. We're in Crestwood, just south of the Watson and New Sappington intersection. We have church Sunday morning at 9 a.m. and Saturday. If you can't make Sunday, make Saturday at 5 p.m.
And I'm doing the Reformation Circuit Service in Beardstown, Illinois, on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're actually worshiping on Reformation.
Oh, that's great.
And tomorrow is our Bible study. Tune in. God bless.
Listen to Law School each weekday morning at 9:30 on KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check payable to Concordia Mission Society and mail it to Tom Baker, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. To give online, visit lawandgospel101.com or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.